discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life. And most importantly, in business. On Sudden Eye Impact with your host, Lee. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than, greater than. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than. Yes! And your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes the difference. Hello, and welcome to the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee, coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. On our show, the Sudden Eye Impact Show, we have fun together, we learn together, and we encourage one another. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics, such as, but not limited to, imagination, personal responsibility, accountability, support systems, accountability partners, creativity, creative vision, innovation, belief systems, the power of belief, the power of thought, the power of words, the power of partnership, entrepreneurship, visionary leadership, consciousness, awareness, being the observer, service, relationships, finances, goal setting, and goal attainment, to name a few. On our show, we share concepts, principles, and processes and systems that work if you work them, that deliver good and great results. The show's mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, mental health, health, and overall peace through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing electrifying, energetic, and powerful content that anyone can take and apply to any area of their life to change their life for the best. You're welcome. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show, and I'm going to my special guest today, Pip McKay. Pip is a teacher to the stars and superstars. Hearing her is transformational. Studying with her is revolutionary change and betterment for your life. With no further ado, we're welcoming Pip McKay. How are you doing, Pip?
Oh, I'm very well, Dwight. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Glad you could join us today. We're going to continue on the journey from our first interview, and we're going to go deep. I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm not really sure if I'm doing this for myself. I believe I'm doing it for my kids, and I think a lot of the audience out there may be suffering the same thing, similar things, or things that are much worse, and I just want to bring them up to help myself and clear the things that I need to clear, you know, for my daughter and son. That's my goal, yes. Purpose and intent, and I'm not going to be afraid, and I just want to deep dive into it. I believe that it will help me, and it will help a lot of others.
Yes, I think when we do something truly self-loving and transformational for ourselves, that's really how we help the world, you know?
Yes, ma'am. So I guess I'll bring up the three topics. One of them I've never touched in 40 years. The other one I have not revisited. I think, you know, I've done little things to try to forgive and forget, but it may be causing problems with something that my wife mentioned. So that's why I want to bring that up. And then the third thing I thought about it, Well, I mentioned the self-sabotage, but I thought about something else about the dreams. So the first thing that I never touched for 40 years is the relationship with my dad. And the thing I want to bring up is something that happened when I was in kindergarten. I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And so I went to school for half a day, and I walked back to my grandma's apartment complex, to our apartment, by myself. And so I was used to staying at my grandma's. I always loved being at my grandma's. I could play with the kids and just a lot of freedom and just a lot of fun. I could you know, go to the car wash, make money, so on and so forth. So this particular incident that I'm going to pinpoint is very deep, and I'm sharing it to help others. On this particular time, I didn't want to go home. He came to pick me up. I was used to staying at my grandmother's. I don't remember what day of the week it was, but it's when I was in kindergarten. I was 5 years old. And so my dad, he got me in the car, and I started crying because I wanted to stay, because I wanted to be with my friends, wanted to have fun, probably wanted to go make money at the car wash. And so my dad took his fist and balled it up and punched me in my right cheek, full power. And so I was hollering and was able to get out the door and run into my grandmother's, knock on the door. My grandma came, and I told her what had happened, and she got out a little .22 pistol. And so that was the end of it. I ended up getting to stay at my grandmother's, which I was not used to doing every day. That's the first thing, that story I want to talk about. So then the other story that I haven't touched, I haven't revisited, it's probably for over maybe 24 to 25 years, is, I won't say names, but it's a relationship with my high school girlfriend or whatever, high school sweetheart or whatever you call it. And so my wife said something to me about, to the point of, you don't know how to express your emotions, or like, I don't know, I'm holding something back. But I do know when I write, when I'm on this show, nothing brings me more joy than this show. It reminds me of when I played basketball. I mean, I love basketball. There's nothing that compares to basketball. That's the only thing I ever wanted to do. So that's why I'm touching this. Right. And so maybe there is some blockage. The thing kind of ended kind of weird. And, you know, maybe it's some other stuff behind it. I don't know, trust issues or just totally opening up, you know. So I'm being truthful with that. And then self-sabotage, like, you've worked with me a little bit. You hear the shows, and there's something blocking me. And I want to figure out what it is, and I want to clear it so I really can go to the next level, because I know the quality content that I'm producing and how excited and the energy I'm sending forth on this show is massive. And I know people are being touched, and I know lives are being changed. I want to identify what's stopping me from going to the next level, next dimension. And then the fourth and final thing is, as a kid, I never really had dreams. And you can touch bases with Jaren through Katrina. Dreams. Sometimes I have dreams. And I don't remember them most of the time. Now, Jaren has told me how to try to remember, or that I'm telling myself I don't remember them. But usually I'm fighting, and my wife is saying, like, you're fighting your dad. Sometimes she says that, and then she says, because she's recorded them a couple times, and she said that, you're arguing or fighting with somebody at work. But most of the time, she's saying it's my dad. Now, when I get in my bed, my mattress costs like $5,300, so it should be comfortable. So when I lay in my bed, the right side of my back, there's all kinds of different, like, it's not really that it hurts or anything, but you notice that it's there, it's tension and different kind of feelings or whatever. And so Jaren said that that's masculine, and he was able to write off first couple conversations we had. And he didn't know me or anything. First couple times we had talked in like May of 2019, and he's like, right size means masculine. And then he just said, like, you have some issues with your dad.
Yeah. Okay,
so I wanted to put all that out
there. These are the four. Yeah, okay. Well, maybe what we can do is start with the first one, because perhaps that will tie in with the fourth one, and maybe, you know, with the dreams that you've been having. So what happens for us is that if we can't deal with something in our waking day, then our unconscious mind attempts to let us know that this isn't resolved when we're sleeping. So there's many different reasons for dreams, But this is one of the reasons where it's like a safety valve, like you know, like a steam valve on a pressure cooker. And what can happen is that it comes out at night to attempt to relieve some of the stress on that. But if it's never resolved, then it just keeps building up and building up that pressure. So we definitely want to relieve that pressure from you. And, you know, obviously since it has something to do with your dad and perhaps even the figures that sometimes you might be fighting with at work, possibly father figures as well or authority figures of some kind. And even if they're not the same type of person, the child mind can identify, you know, some of these things are like the others. You know, in the Sesame Street thing, the mind categorizes things that feel similar to you, even if the details of it are different. So I think starting with your dad is like a really good place to start, which you've obviously already intuitively realized. So I think this one will probably have something to do with the self-sabotage and the blocking as well. You know, the dad aspect may relieve that. We'd have to look into that in a bit more detail. And then the other one is in a different category, as you've identified that your wife is feeling that something is stopping you really being as close to her emotionally as she would like. Now, some of that may be to do with your dad, because a lot of men who are good men and have good hearts, they're afraid that some aspect of themselves might end up being like their dad, and they become very, very afraid of any time they feel frustrated or angry, because they're scared that that might bubble up and blow up at the people that they love. And so when we are trying to suppress an emotion like anger, we end up suppressing all of the emotions somewhat, and we can end up suppressing things like love, because your dad was someone who should have loved you. So then love and anger start to get associated together, whereas maybe at work when you're really passionate and excited about something, there's no negative association with that area of your life as much as what there is in the love. So it could be that what we do with dad alleviates and helps you get closer with your wife. But of course, you've also identified that perhaps there's still some feelings or some unresolved feelings towards your ex-girlfriend that might also be preventing that intimacy. Because sometimes when we've loved someone and it's ended in a way we can't understand and we feel hurt, then we want to protect ourselves from that hurt, and then we're not as close and vulnerable with, you know, the next person we fall in love with or the person we marry, because we're still somewhat protecting our heart. So I don't know if that makes some sense to you.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah, okay. Well, let's move into the...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry? What was that? Say that again.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm not really an emotional person, and I think I've trained myself through basketball. Like, I mean, I wanted to take the game-winning shot, hit or miss. Like, I was calm. Like, I trained myself to be calm, but I think maybe I could have, in reality, cut everything off. Because for the most part, I really don't show emotion.
Yes, and this is the general way that men and also women who have had to just get on with it, this is how they deal with it, because they haven't been taught a way to deal with emotions that has a successful outcome and relieves them. So anytime they feel an emotion, they just feel like they're replaying the same thing over and over again. So what they do then, they do their best to attempt to stop feeling emotions. And for some people, you know, that kind of works out okay, but for most people, it really doesn't at all. And for people who are born naturally as someone who is loving, who's a feeling person, you know, we might call that in certain personal development, kinesthetic, you know, people who are very physical and like to move, those same people are actually also like to be moved emotionally. But often it's only the physical action, like the basketball, that is seen, and that active movement is seen, because the emotional movement has been suppressed. And then the emotions get stuck, and they start to play out in ways that we don't expect. So if we can't find constructive ways to assert ourselves, then anger can turn inward and start to attack ourselves. And what happens is, because the anger needs an outlet, so it either has an outlet externally, or it gets healed, or it starts to attack us internally. And when we suppress emotions, that's what happens. They start to attack us. And where they attack is our self-esteem and our self-talk, and confidence. So we may look very confident in some areas, but in any area that reminds us of the emotion, then we might not have the same confidence, or we might kind of get emotionally numb. And the trouble with becoming emotionally numb is what I was saying before. As much as you might not feel anger or frustration as much, but you also don't get to feel joy and ecstasy as much either in the area that is the problem area. So, you know, you can be very excited and passionate at work, but then find, you know, the connection and the love and the passion there isn't quite the same, because that's the area you're suppressing emotion, whereas at work maybe you're not as much. So this is just how emotions work. They need an outlet. And in the end, as I was saying on the first show, all emotions are simply messengers. And they build up because we don't get the message. The moment we get the message, the emotion is completely alleviated. And you can just imagine, for you as a five-year-old boy, it's not easy for a five-year-old boy to comprehend how the person who is meant to be their protector, meant to be their mentor, their father, meant to be the person who loves them, supports them, teaches them, provides for them, protects them, is suddenly the person who is attacking them. This becomes very difficult for a child to understand, and it's difficult for an adult to understand, let alone a child. And so the child then feels very confused, and it starts to play on, what does love mean? If the person who's meant to love me the most is the person attacking me, what does love mean then? And it becomes then difficult to trust love. But the key thing is that your father is not doing that, obviously, out of love. He's doing that out of his own pain and his own completely out of control emotions, where there's someone he's angry at that he can't assert himself with that person. He feels powerless there, so then he hurts someone who he has power over. And this is this terrible trajectory of what happens in father-son relationships, or in relationships with fathers who become violent, is they haven't got any positive outlet for their emotion, and they can't understand the emotion. So what we need to do is we need to help your five-year-old understand this emotion, so that that block, emotional block, is cleared, and then it's free-flowing, and then it becomes easier to assert oneself in the right circumstances and to love and protect in the right circumstances, because they're not confused. So shall we move into that then, Dwight?
Yes.
Okay, beautiful. So what we're going to do is we're going to go and collect your five-year-old who's very confused, and we're going to give the five-year-old you as his father, so that you can protect him. And we'll go and collect him, so he can come out of that situation and be in a loving household inside of you, inside of your own body, instead of stuck in this moment in the past. So just closing your eyes, Dwight.
Yeah.
And as you think about this event, where in your body do you feel the emotion?
My head's hurting.
Your head's hurting, yeah, of course. And is there anywhere else you feel emotion?
There's a lot of tension, just like in my head, the back of the head, the top part,
in your
middle.
Head. And did you have any warning this was going to happen? Like, could you see him being angry prior?
No.
No, because you were crying, so you're not even looking then, I imagine. Okay, so if this feeling in your head had a color or a shape, what would it be?
Black. Deep black.
Black, okay. Deep black. All right. So you'd know when this was gone, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. So just sliding up all the way out of now and all the way out into the past, and it's going to be just before you were hit. And imagine that you're coming right to where the five-year-old is, and then just asking the five-year-old, what's going on? Why do you feel this way? And just let the five-year-old answer and tell me what he's saying.
Repeat that.
So just ask the five-year-old. So imagine you're in the car now. Just for a moment, just imagine your dad's not there and your five-year-old's just in the car and it's before he's been hit and he's crying.
Oh, okay.
So just asking that five-year-old, yeah, what's going on for him? How's he feeling? What's happening for him? And what does he answer?
He wants to stay.
He wants to stay with his grandma. And how come he wants to stay?
Where all his friends is.
What was that?
It's where all his friends are.
Where his friends are. Okay. And how does he feel about going with his dad? How does he feel towards his dad?
Feels like he's taking them away from fun.
Taking them away from fun. So what's it like at dad's then when you're with your dad?
I didn't have any friends at home. I barely came outside just to get into the car to go to school or go back and forth to grandma's.
Okay. And how do you feel, five-year-old, how do you feel about your dad?
Like, before the event or after?
Before.
It was okay. But, like, mostly he wasn't there.
It was okay.
Like,
so mostly he wasn't there physically or emotionally?
Non-existent emotionally, physically.
Right. So when you were with your dad before this event, what would you talk about? What would it be like being in his presence?
Sometimes there was some fun, like, you know, riding and listening to music, going to visit his family. But that was like spurts, like, you know, here and there. Most
okay.
of my time was...
And what was it like being with him?
I'm sorry, what was that?
So I interrupted you. Most of your time was spent. What did you say?
Yeah, my grandma's, like, you know, I have all these friends in the apartment complex, like,
yeah,
lots of friends. And I had, like, 6 uncles, but, like, 3 of them were there most of the time. Like, we watched sports together. We played table football. Was more engaging, is more fun,
yeah.
You know. They're the ones that talk about
that.
Sports and all that.
Yeah, beautiful. So I understand that. And when you were with your dad, did he do any of those things with you?
Nah, I mean, he kind of like was the one that kind of got me into boxing. You know, I stopped when I was like 12.
Right.
You know, bought me boxing gloves and
okay.
the little punching bag that just comes back to you when you hit it. But other than that, no, not much engagement.
And when you were with your dad, just not with his family, but just with him, what sort of things, like, would you talk? What was it like? Was it more sort of silent? What was it like when you were with him, just you and him?
More of, like, silence and listening to music,
Okay.
Yeah, it was kind of quiet until we got around other people.
Okay, and when you think about those moments, so the five-year-old Dwight, when he goes inside and thinks about what that was like for him, how did he feel being with his dad?
Totally different than being, like, at home with just my mom and sister, or, I mean, I was, like, in heaven when I was at my grandma's, because, I mean, I had everything. I had friends, I had my uncles, I had the TV with sports, you know, table football, I had the venue to go make money.
So do you see, Dwight, how your mind touches on what it felt like to be with Dad and then immediately skips to your grandma each time?
Yes.
Can you see how your mind's doing that? Which is beautiful. That's how you've, you know, grown up and been able to think about the happy times. And that's a really wonderful tool. Right now, though, we want to just stick with where the wounding is, which is with Dad. But can you see with your mind, it touches that and then it scoots straight off. So at the moment, though, we want to heal this thing that you're escaping from. Do you know what I mean? So we
do have to
see if we can focus on that bit there, so we can get a hold of that. It's a little bit like, you know, a child's got a broken arm, but it's focusing on the lollipop. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Focusing on the ice cream. So it is a great tactic, but right now we can't heal the broken arm if we don't have a look at it. Is that cool?
Right.
Yeah. So we just come back to the five-year-old and how he actually felt. So you're playing music or whatever, and you're there with your dad. How did it feel to be with him?
With him one-on-one, it was like very like dry, bland, boring.
Dry. Okay. Great. That's great. All right. So now what we want to do is we want to go to the time when he hit you. What did you feel then, five-year-old?
A part of me wanted to be tough because I was boxing already, and I was usually fighting kids that were 2 to 3 years older, you know, way bigger. And, you know, my uncles roughed me up, you know, in a good way to kind of make me tough, you know, be able to defend myself, which I've never had a problem doing. So I'm thankful that they did that.
But
I was very hurt. And I remember looking up to the left at the sun and tears were like just pouring down the left side of my eye, like flowing like a river.
Yeah.
And it's like, it just was in disbelief that how can this happen? Like, God, why? I mean, I didn't say it, but that's what I felt.
Yep. Beautiful. Okay. And then how did that make you feel when you were, like, looking up at God and going, why? How did that then make you feel?
Physically, I was just hurt. You know, I didn't understand. I wasn't like mad or angry with God or anything. It's just like I just felt hurt, and I just was like, why? I didn't understand. I didn't comprehend.
Yeah. And how did you feel? Yeah, exactly. And how did you feel towards your dad in that moment?
I was like angry.
Yeah. And what else did you feel?
Rage.
Yep. Okay, cool. That's really great, Dwight. What we want to do now is we want to take you up to a safe place where you can express that anger and rage at your dad, because this is really the correct place for that anger and rage rather than inside you, or turned on you, or spilling out to maybe some other people who it shouldn't come out to. Is that cool?
Yes.
Okay. So imagine that you're taking the 5-year-old's hand and you're floating all the way up into the hue of light between this world and the next. We're all love, light, healing. Wisdom and understanding resides that will support you through the process. So a really safe place filled with light and love and understanding and wisdom. And just let me know when you feel like you've arrived there with your 5-year-old.
I feel like I'm floating up.
Beautiful. Okay. When you get to a place where you sort of feel like you've arrived and it's a safe place, just let me know when you're there. You there now?
Yes.
Beautiful. Okay, cool. So we want to let the 5-year-old know that he never has to be back in that situation ever again. So he's going to come and live with you now. But before he does, he needs to be able to have an outlet at his of his emotion. So I want you to imagine that the highest aspect of your father is now arrived in front of you. So just let me know when that's done. Like the soul of your father is there. And just knowing that the anger that you express towards the soul can't hurt the soul or affect the soul, but it needs to come out of your body and be expressed to the right place, which is towards your dad. Okay. So just let me know when you're ready.
I think I'm ready.
Great. Okay. So 5-year-old, if you could express that anger and that rage towards your dad, and it was safe for you to do so, what would you say to him?
I would call him a lot of names.
Yeah, right. So well, I know we can't do that on radio. If we were personally together, I would encourage you to do that. But what I'd like you to do is just to say that in your mind, no holds bar, just, you know, whatever you want to say. I imagine you'd probably be swearing at him and cursing him. Would that be right?
Accurate.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want you to imagine that the 5-year-old's got free rein to just do that now in your mind. And maybe if you can tell us some words that perhaps aren't part of the curse words, but, you know, like, how dare you hit me? What are you thinking? You know, any of those type of words. And you can just say in your mind the swearing words, and that's totally fine. What would you say to him?
I mean, honestly, like, I feel like he caused, like, a lot of problems, a lot of conflicts. Like, I'm cursed because of him.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
yeah, say that to him. You caused a lot of, you say it to him, directly to him as if you're speaking to him. You caused
all kinds of problems, conflicts, you know, still cursed because of you, your actions.
Mm.
Like, he's pitiful.
Yeah, say that to him. You're pitiful.
You're pitiful. Disgrace.
Yeah. Tell him why he's pitiful.
Irresponsible, unprotective.
Yeah.
Selfish.
Yeah.
Thoughtless.
Now tell him how that's affected you. Thoughtless, yeah. Tell him how that affected you.
It's hindered, it's blocked me from being all that I can be.
Yeah, totally. Hey, is there anything else you want to say to him?
Yeah, I had no guide. I had to figure it out on my own.
That's right.
Through the school of hard knocks.
Exactly. Yeah. And how does that make you feel when you had to figure it all out on your own?
It caused a lot of pain, a lot of frustration.
Yeah.
A lot of hindrances, blocks.
Yeah. Exactly. Anything else you want to say?
That's it.
Okay, beautiful. Now tell him how he should be instead. As a father, how should he have been to look after his little boy?
Should have been more mature,
yeah.
Understanding, supportive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get showing strength, but there is a tactful way that you can do it without being weak.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe being an example of strength.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Anything else?
Should have taught me some skills.
Yeah, exactly.
Life skills. At least one.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. Anything else you want to say to him?
That's it.
Okay. So what we want to do now is see an infinite source of love, light, healing, wisdom and understanding pouring through the top of your adult head and filling you up and 5-year-old up until you're both totally whole and healed. Just let me know when that's done.
I think I'm there.
Great. Now, anything that you've been carrying of his, any of his emotion, his anger, his sadness, his fear, his guilt, his shame, any of his emotions that are not yours are going back to him now, being purified by the light and becoming a resource for him to use. Because you can't grow and evolve whilst you carry his emotions. And he can't grow and evolve until he gets the lessons from them. So any emotions, any negative emotions that are his, that you've been carrying, are going back to him now, being purified by the light and becoming a resource him to use. And let me know when that's done. That done now?
Yeah, I think I'm there.
Okay, cool. Now, any emotions that you have had in reaction or response to your dad, to his behavior towards you, are now just being released to the light. You don't have to carry those emotions inside you anymore. They were just telling you that your dad was treating you unfairly, which was true. That he wasn't there for you, but you don't need those emotions anymore. You've got that message. You understand it wasn't you. So releasing those emotions now into the light, and let me know when that's done.
I think it's done.
Okay. What we'll do is we'll come back at the end of this process and just check if there's anything left, okay? So now what we want to do is any beliefs or thoughts that your dad instilled in you that are not yours but are his are going back to him now, being purified by the light. Any thought patterns, any beliefs, any values that are not yours but are his. So imagine like a cord of light, and all of that is going back to him now, being purified by that light, becoming a resource for him to use, and emptying out of you. So then you won't have any internal conflict between things he's instilled in you and the way you want to think. So all of that's going back to him now, and let me know when that's done. You know, all his unworthiness, all his unlovableness that he probably believed about himself, yeah, we can pick that up. But we want to give that back now and be purified by the light to become a resource for him to use and to alleviate you from that. And let me know when that's done.
I think it's done.
Okay, cool. Now, any beliefs you've had about yourself in reaction or response to him is being released to the light. No thoughts like I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy or my dad wouldn't treat me like this. All these thoughts that are natural for a child to feel as they're trying to figure it out. But it's actually not the truth. You know, that was coming from his woundings, his pain, probably his father. That's not the truth about you. So just releasing those old negative beliefs to the light and let me know when that's done.
Yeah, I think it's done. My head's really hurting.
Yeah, cool. Starting to get lighter, huh? Okay, the next one is any behaviors, way of being in the world that you might have picked up from your dad, like not communicating, shutting down emotions, that kind of behavior you might have picked up from your dad is going back to him now, being purified by the light and becoming a resource for him to use, and you're free from that behavior now, sabotaging behavior, escaping behavior. Let me know when that's done.
I think it's done. My body
feels cool.
Really light.
And then
my head is hurting.
Your head's hurting and your body's tight?
My body is feeling very, very light, but my head is like hurting. Like.
Oh, your body's feeling light. Okay, cool. And your head?
It's hurting.
It's hurting. Okay, cool.
We
might just... Yeah, we'll come to that in a moment. We'll just finish this part of the process and we'll come to the pain in our head in a second. So just let that pain know will come. We're hearing that it's got a message for us, but right now we're just going to finish this little part of the process. So is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So any behavior you've had in reaction or response to your dad is now being released to the light. So behavior like protecting yourself in terms of your heart, or maybe becoming defensive when you don't need to be. Anything, any behavior that you've had in reaction or response to your dad. Just being released to the light now. You don't need that anymore. You're not in an environment where you need to do that anymore. And if you do need to do it, you can trust your intuition to tell you.
No, I don't need to do that no more.
Great. Okay, fantastic. And now the last one. Anything energetic or karmic, if you like, which is not yours but is your dad's, is going back to him now. So your dad had his life and his journey, and he was meant to figure out what he was meant to figure out from the life he had. But that's not your life and it's not your journey. So we can't try and stop or compensate for somebody else's lessons or karma. We can only do that for ourselves. So any kind of time you might have tried to, you know, solve or sort out what was going on for Dad, that's just being released now, going back to him, because that's his lesson to learn. It's not yours. We can only learn our own lessons. Nobody else can learn them for us, and we can't learn them for somebody else, no matter how hard or painful they are. Sometimes as a child, part of us can be trying to work out what's going on for somebody else. And that's understandable if it's just for empathy, but sometimes we can get stuck there energetically. So your dad's energy, you know, whatever his energy, whatever darkness that he had, that's going back to him now, being purified by the light and becoming a resource for him to use. Whatever abuse he experienced, whatever disappointments he experienced in his life, these were his life lessons to learn from and gain wisdom from and do something about. And he may have, or he more likely didn't, learn those lessons, but that's up to him. So all that karma that you've been carrying of your dad's is going back to him now, being purified by the light, becoming a resource seen to you. You're his son and not him himself. You don't need to repeat his lessons or his journey in any way. Just let me know when that's done.
It's done.
Great. And then the final one of this part is any karmic or energy that has been created inside of you in reaction or response to your dad is just being released to the light. So the karma between you and your dad stops here. You're looking at it, you're dealing with it. You don't want it to be your life. You've got other dreams and other hopes, and you're a father of your own children, and you want to do your fathering completely differently. So any of the karma between you and your dad and the way your dad might have affected you, affected your relationship, that's all finishing now. But a new journey to begin. So let me know when that's done.
I think it's done.
Brilliant. Okay. Now, just asking your unconscious mind, is there anything else that needs to be released? How's the pain in your head going? Is there anything else it wants to say?
Right now, I don't hear anything.
Okay, cool. So now what we're going to do is cut the cords between you and your dad. This is the old connection. So cutting the cords, see the part of the cords that go into him and him floating off into the light. Sure, you're wishing him well, but you don't want him affecting you anymore. And the part of the cord that's yours coming into you, and feel that sense of energy as you get yourself back again, whole and healed. Without any of the burden of your dad anymore, that's gone now. And you're released and free from that old influence. And let me know when that's done.
I think it's done.
Beautiful. And anything that was taken from you by your dad is now being fueled to the brim by the love and light of the universe, of the One. So things like confidence, happiness, security, self-love, self-worth, self-respect, all of these are pouring into you now from the universe, from the universal Mother and Father, from the ideal Dad coming into you, filling you up. Mentorship, wisdom, intuition, self-belief, confidence, inner peace. All the things that our dad should instill and help us understand about ourselves. And let me know when that's done.
I feel that it's complete.
Terrific. So now we've just got one more part of this process, just turning to your five-year-old and asking your five-year-old, what resources does he now need in order to be totally whole and healed? And let him know that you're his father now and you're going to look after him and love him. So what resources does he need from you?
encouragement.
Yep.
Love.
Encouragement.
Attention.
Love. Attention.
Correction.
Correction. What do you mean by that?
Stirred in the right direction.
Okay, perfect. Direction. Okay, yeah, I got it now. Yeah. Anything else you need to want?
Support.
Support. Beautiful. Anything else?
No.
Beautiful. So see an infinite source now of love, light, healing, wisdom and understanding pouring through the top of your head and overflowing out of your heart and into this little five-year-old. And have a little look at him. What a darling little boy he is. He deserves everything. He deserves that encouragement from his dad. And let him know you're his dad now. And you encourage him and love him and give him attention. And you give him direction, but you also listen to what he wants to do and find the right direction that really suits him. And you give him support. And at the same time, it's also, you know, you devise fun things. So he enjoys being with you so that when you come up to see him, he's running to see you because he loves you so much and is so excited to see you and can't wait to spend time with you and is happy. Is there anything he wants to say to you, any resources he has for you?
I think I have the perfect
Beautiful.
Form. Can
so
I read it? Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
I am a victor, not a victim, proclaiming my victories once again. I had to be alone and unconsciously awaken. I had to be alone and spiritually awaken. I know you don't understand. You should just think again. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. I am a winner. Just getting back to winning again. Please don't forget me. Don't forget me. I knew I would become a winner again. I know you don't comprehend. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. Don't sweat the technique. That's why you stuck on repeat. So discombobulated and unable to receive a true treat. Tasted so much bitterness. You can't receive nor digest fruit so sweet. Swiftly, swiftly, swiftly. Victory, victory, victory. Don't forget me. Don't forget me. I am a winner who is guaranteed to win again. And I went beyond believing to knowing you don't comprehend. You can't forget me, and the world can't forget me.
Oh, that's beautiful. And that's exactly what that five-year-old needs to know. So that's absolutely perfect. Give him a cuddle, a hug, tell him you love him and you're proud of him and have him merge into you in that victory and grow up to be the man that you are now with that winning inside. And when you're ready and you've done that, just coming back to now and as quickly as you let go of that old influence and old emotions and beliefs and all the events all the way back to now and placing them with your new wisdom, your new understanding, your new confidence, your new winning, your new victory. And when you're ready and you've done that, coming back into now.
I'm ready.
Beautiful. How are you feeling, Dwight?
Wonderful. My head is light now.
It was throbbing. Great. So the pain has gone?
Yeah, it was throbbing.
Oh, wow. But it's not throbbing now?
It's light, no. Nothing, no pain.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well done,
thank
Dwight.
You
that's
so much,
really
Pip. Thank you,
really
Pip. Amazing. Thank you.
It's my pleasure.
Discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life. And most importantly, in business. On Sudden Eye Impact. With your host, Lee.